This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Farrah & Farrah, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wachovia, Geico, Sonny's Barbecue, your Southeast Toyota dealers, the Parts House, and by Everbank. The appearance of Pete Banaszak is made possible by the Cascades of World Golf Village. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
And we welcome you into the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after the Jaguars' thrilling 24-20 victory over the Cleveland Browns. Well, that's three games at home that have gone right down to or close to the wire. Jaguars fans are getting their money's worth on their tickets this year, that's for sure. And we'll get to some analysis from Pete Banaszak and Marco Coleman here in just a moment. But first, let's get you updated on scores from the other games going on around the National Football League. The Jets in Houston in a real barn burner in the Meadowlands. And Mark Sanchez has just found little bit of magic with that Santonio Holmes again, who had the winner last week. With a touchdown catch with 10 seconds remaining. They're reviewing it to make sure he got his feet in bounds, and it appears that he did. The Jets leading Houston 29-27, extra point coming up. It'll be a three-point ball game, and the Texans will have just basically one heave at it, and that's it. Tennessee and Washington have gone to overtime in Nashville, tied at 16. Graham Gano's field goal with 5:24 remaining tied it up for the Skins, and now they're in the OT. Tennessee with a football near midfield on fourth down, probably going to have to punt it away, and the Redskins will have a shot at things. Games that have gone final. Baltimore, no problem with Carolina today. Joe Flacco throwing one touchdown pass, and the Ravens getting two interception returns for touchdowns, including Ray Lewis, to put the icing on the cake with about 5 minutes remaining in the ballgame. 37-13, Baltimore beats up on Carolina today. Dallas has now won two straight since Wade Phillips was let go. 35-19, the Cowboys beat the Detroit Lions today. Green Bay whipping up on Brett Favre and the Vikings, 31-3. Favre with 208 yards of passing, but it was Aaron Rodgers who was the star of the game with four touchdown passes, three of them to Greg Jennings. Those are the games that have gone final. Still going on. Kansas City, just a matter of time now before they polish off Arizona. 31-6, the Chiefs leading. In that ballgame, Dwayne Bowe has two touchdown catches. He has 11 on the season. Meanwhile, Buffalo in a back-and-forth affair, and Bills have scored 35 unanswered points in the second half to take a 49-31 lead. Fred Jackson with a couple of touchdowns there. Ryan Fitzpatrick has thrown 4 touchdowns in the ballgame, and it's 49-31 with a minute 46 to play, Buffalo leading in Cincinnati. Also going on right now, Pittsburgh whipping up on Oakland 28-3. This has been an ugly game in terms of penalties and an ejection of Richard Seymour after he went to the head of Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger thrown for 259 yards in the ballgame, a 28-3 Pittsburgh lead. Those are the games going on right now, just getting underway. Seattle and New Orleans. Tampa Bay is at San Francisco. Atlanta is at St. Louis. Then coming up in about 3 minutes, or less than that now, 2 minutes to kick off. Indy and New England will be keeping a close eye on that ball game. If the Patriots beat Indianapolis, the Jaguars would be tied for the top spot in the AFC South after their win today. All right, Pete Banaszak, Marco Coleman. Well, they're certainly giving the fans their money's worth, and great job by the defense, and I thought a great play by Maurice Jones-Drew, really the big play in the game.
Well, if the odds of winning this ball game had to be making six turnovers, had to be 99-1 that you could win this game, I wouldn't believe that unless I'd seen it with my own eyes.
Marco, the defense did a terrific job. After all those turnovers, they just kept stopping the Browns' offense, shut them down, and gave the offense a chance, gave the Jaguars a chance to win this thing.
I mean, to do that requires a certain mind state, and the defense today had the mindset that they were going to win this game regardless of what was going on. It showed. I mean, to stop those guys on that quick turn, on those turnovers, that quick change of possession, that requires a lot of mental stability in order to get that done.
Yeah, Jaguars were -5 in terms of the turnover margin today, 6 turnovers overall, so that's pretty remarkable numbers there. All right, let's hear from the head coach, Jeff Logman, standing by in the locker room with Jack Del Rio.
All right, thank you, Cole, and certainly I don't know if I've ever seen a game, Jack, where you've had -5 and you've won, but what a job by the defense there in the second half. 5 consecutive turnovers, and I think there was a field goal allowed.
Yeah, it was gritty. You know, you talk about being gritty, and I talked to the guys at halftime. This Cleveland team now, they're, you watch the tape and they play tough and they play everybody tough and they don't really turn it over, you know, and they make it difficult to punch in. And I talked to our guys. I said, hey, I'm telling you now, we need to go out here and strain our gut for these 30 minutes to get this victory. And we needed every bit of that. I mean, we needed that to be able to hang in there, turning the ball over. Obviously, you cannot win. The percentages, you just can't do it. I mean, it's a surefire way to go home miserable. But we were able to hang in there. Defense was excellent in spurts, showing promise, and that's a good thing because we really believe offensively we can do some things. And so we're becoming more of a complete football team, and I'm proud of our ability to pull out a victory like this when we're not playing well, and it is against a good team. I think Cleveland is a good team.
Offensively, you know, turning the ball over. But holy cow, the performance of Maurice Jones-Drew, especially at crunch time. I mean, the guy he's a beast.
Well, he is, and we talked about it at crunch time. Let's make sure we're feeding him. And we fell behind there, and we were having some struggles. And the one constant was we kept feeding Maurice, and feel like, you know, he's one of, if not our best football player, and that you got to make sure he's getting touches. And what a huge play at the very end to go down there and give us a chance to punch it in, and then, you know, he's the one that punches it in.
For the defense, you got to go out one more time there at the end of the ball game. 2 weeks in a row, Sean Considine makes a play. He doesn't get any bigger than that.
No, it was great. It was great. He's played well for us in his role, you know, and he's done a great job as a team guy on special teams and in his role, and he's a savvy guy, a savvy veteran. Came up 2 weeks in a row, huge for us.
Defensively, 6 sacks. No Aaron Camp, but 6 sacks. I mean, you got to be proud of that.
Well, I am proud of the guys. I thought it was better. We're going to need better. I thought we got that, you know. And, you know, there's some things, you know, in the first half on the drive that they get and they go down and score, you know, it's 3 third downs that we really allow and things that we feel like we'll do better. And then, you know, we maintain our poise, made the corrections, and talked about, hey, this is not the time of year for my bad. This is the time for, you know, learning from mistakes and not making them again and not making them in the first place if you can help it. And so our guys locked in there. We had a good stretch of defense there in the second half where, you know, we had to respond to adversity and did and gave our football team a chance to hang around.
All right, Jack, any injuries to speak of?
No, that's a good sign. The guys are working hard. We're pushing hard in practice. We're still hitting a lot in pads, and you know, our guys are fighting through this year pretty good. And I know a lot of them were begging for Wednesday, you know, see you Wednesday tomorrow. But with Thanksgiving this week, we'll want to take a lighter schedule Thursday, and we'll have to be working tomorrow to get that done. So I told them, get your butts in here. Let's get ready to go back to work.
All right, thank you, Jack. Congratulations.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
All right, that's the coach's report with head coach Jack Del Rio, brought to you by Bubba Burgers. The first word from the head coach in the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Also there, you heard the injury report brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation. Good news, no injuries for the Jaguars to report today. We'll see. Perhaps tomorrow someone will come in with a bruise, but so far we feel pretty good about it. Jaguars win it 24-20. We'll try and explain why when we return to the Winn-Dixie postgame show from Everbank Field in Jacksonville, and you're listening to Jaguars Radio. Winn-Dixie postgame show. Brian Sexton in the booth. Jeff Lagerman in the locker room with Tyson Alualu.
Hey, thank you, Brian. Tyson, you guys got to be proud as a defense. You know, kind of trying to find your identity early in the season, and today in the second half, you have 5 consecutive turnovers by the offense. You guys allow 3 defensive points. That's stepping up.
Oh man, it's amazing for us to do that. I mean, it's a team game, and you know, when it's not working out for our offense, we know we got to take it into our own hands and step up and just, you know, make plays so that the offense could feed off us, and you know, vice versa on that. But it just shows, you know, all the hard work we put in throughout off season and practice, definitely paying off.
I could really tell when there was a turnover, and so many times as a football player, you talk about sudden change. But the energy that you guys brought as a defense to the field in that sudden change situation, it had to be many times. I mean, the first couple of plays when they were trying to just feed it to Peyton Hillis, you were just stuffing them play after play.
Yeah, I mean, that's the mentality we went into the game. Just, you know, they came into the game as a physical team, and I mean, we just wanted to be physical right back, out-physical them. I think that's the best way to do it. And as far as defense, our mentality is going there, not being down from you know, things that go on in the game that don't go our way. Just keep our heads up and just keep fighting.
I would have to think that a game like this, for a defense that's trying to find its way, I mean, this could be the I guess you could say, the stepping stone to things that are big time.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, as a whole defense, as a team, we're just growing, and I feel we are headed in the right direction. And just from this point on, we're just going to get better. And that's what we're working at every day, to get better.
Tyson, congratulations. Big win.
Thank you.
All right, Loggy, I think you'll agree with me when I say that our defensive player of the game is the entire defense.
Absolutely, man. That was awesome. Jeremy Mincy got 2 sacks, yeah. Even. I mean, holy cow.
That's
Terrence Potros-Knighton got a sack.
Brought to you by Jack Hanania, Acura of Orange Park, Audi of Jacksonville, Hyundai of Orange Park, Volkswagen of Orange Park, all on Blanding Boulevard, just north of I-295. The O'Reilly Auto Parts offensive player of the game is...
Maurice Jones-freaking-Drew.
220 total yards and a touchdown. The 87 total yards receiving probably as important as any, because the 75-yard run after the dump-off setup is game-winning touchdown. O'Reilly Auto Parts makes a donation to the Jack Del Rio Foundation in the name of Maurice Jones... Freaking Drew, or is it freaking?
I think it's freaking Drew.
I got to work on this one. And then, of course, our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP.
Maurice Jones-Drew, right?
Yeah, something like that. I'll leave that one to you. And he'll receive a Bueller Swiss Watch. You can get yours. Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville. Robinson Jewelry Company in Fernandina Beach. Faceted Rainbow in Ocala. Kingsley Jewelry, Orange Park. Lords and Barons Jewelers in Tallahassee.
And, Brian, I got Eugene Monroe here. And Eugene, obviously... It was just a giveaway fest as an offense, but holy cow, the performance of Maurice Jones-Drew, an absolute beast.
You know, that's a guy who he'll give that to you when you need it. You know, we had that screen called up. You know, he got it, and their D-line was just standing around in one of their chaos-type fronts. And, you know, he broke loose, and, you know, everyone was running downfield. Or tight ends running down there with him, getting blocks. Receivers running downfield, getting blocks. And when that happens, you know, you can have those type of plays. You know, just thank God it happened then.
What was being said in the huddle? I mean, you had 5 consecutive turnovers in the second half, and holy cow, you're still only down by a touchdown.
You know, we were just in a huddle, you know, just telling ourselves that the only reason Cleveland was in the game is because we kept giving it to them. You know, they weren't stopping us. We were stopping ourselves all day. You know, so we just told ourselves we need to get 6. You know, we can't even, you know, at the end of the game before that point, we can't go down and kick a field goal. We're going to need points to close this game off.
Got to be a big boost to where you can have a game to where you're -5 and turnover differential and you still win.
You know, that doesn't happen often. Usually when you give the ball away like that, you don't pull out the win. But we were fortunate enough today to, you know, to continue to grind and pull that out.
Thank you, Eugene. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's Eugene Monroe in the locker room with Jeff Loggeman. Hey, Jaguars fans, the Jaguars won, which means tomorrow and Tuesday, take your game stub to a Northeast Florida Sunny's and claim your free barbecue pork sandwich. When we come back, we'll take a final run through the stats from the booth, plus give you the Bud Light play of the game, then hand it off to Cole, Pete, and Marco. Jaguars win at 24-20 on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, boy, the Jets came back and beat the Texans today with a touchdown pass from Mark Sanchez to Santonio Holmes with 10 seconds to play. So the Texans have lost 4 in a row. They're now 4-6. And we just watched as the Redskins beat the Titans in Nashville in overtime with a field goal. And so the Titans have lost 3 in a row. And they are now 5-5. Jaguars 6-4. And depending on the outcome of the New England-Indianapolis game, and right now it's 7-0 New England leads, Jaguars could be in a first-place tie with the Indianapolis Colts for first place in the AFC South by the end of the night. Time for a look at the final stats brought to you by Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company. Jaguars rolled up 370 total yards today. They had 226 from the passing game, 144 on the ground. Oh, 6 turnovers, folks. The ugly part, they control the ball for 31-23. Garrard was 20 of 34 for 254 yards, 2 touchdowns, but 3 interceptions. Passer rating 65.1, way south of what we've seen from him recently. But he engineered the game-winning drive, and you got to take your hat off to him for that. Maurice Drew, 24 carries, 132 yards, and a touchdown. 5.5 per carry average today. Jones Drew, also the Jaguars' leading receiver, 3 for 87 yards, including the 75-yarder with just over 2 minutes to play that set up his game-winning touchdown. Mercedes Lewis had 5 for 66 and a score, his eighth of the year. Mike Thomas had 5 for 36 and a score, his third of the year. Zach Miller contributed 3 for 27. Kasim Osgood had 2 for 22. And we look at Colt McCoy for the Browns. 17 of 28, 241, one touchdown, one interception, passer rating 85.6. Coolly efficient was he today. Peyton Hillis came in averaging 4.8 per carry, left averaging 2.3. 21 rushing attempts, only 48 yards. Colt McCoy scrambled 4 times for 39 yards, including an 18-yarder on the drive that gave them the go-ahead field goal with just under 3 minutes to play. Leading receiver was Peyton Hillis, 6 receptions, 95 yards, a 47-yarder in the first half. He also had a touchdown in the ball game as a receiver. Beyond that, Evan Moore made a couple of late catches, 3 for 69. Mohamed Masekwai, 4 for 51. Jaguars win it today. Those are your final stats brought to you by Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company. Also, Jaguars, 6 sacks, a season high. They now have 20. They only had 14 of all last year. So even without Aaron Campman, they're getting some pressure. All right, time for the Bud play of the game brought to you by Bud Light. The sure sign of a good time. Here we go from the 24-yard line, first and 10. Just over 2 minutes to play. Jaguars down 20-17. David Garrard hands it off to Maurice Jones-freaking-Drew. David quickly turns, pumps. Now is under pressure, sets up the screen. Drew's got it, looking for blockers. He's back in the middle of the field. He's at the 30-yard line. Look at him go! He's at the 35 and the 40. Breaks a tackle! He's going! He's at the 40! He's at the 30! He cuts to the inside of the 20! He's on his feet to the 10! 5! Oh, he's pulling at the 1! He's pulling at the 1-yard line! Maurice Drew is stopped at the 1-yard line!
What an effort!
You know, I think the ball crossed the plane. They didn't review it. Doesn't make any difference. But I think the ball crossed the plane. Anyway, part of his 220 total yard performance today and a touchdown. Every time he touched the ball, 8.49 yards. Give the ball to Drew. So it was ugly to be sure, but it was pretty in the end. And you'll take it any day of the week. 6-4, depending on what happens in New England. Jaguars could be in first place by the time the evening is just getting rolling. We'll sign it off from the booth. Want to thank the folks at CopyFacts. Every week they produce our game charts crisply and in vivid color. The crew there led by Jason DeFore, we certainly appreciate you. The only and exclusive provider of business machines to the Jacksonville Jaguars is CopyFacts. My spotter, TJ Strite, our engineer, Scott Kushner, and Jones Freaking Fortunato for producing this fine broadcast. We'll send it down to Cole Freaking Pepper, Pete Freaking Vanizak, and Marco, will he mind if I say Freaking? Freaking Coleman. It's a compliment, Marco. All right, from the booth, 24-20, the final score. Jaguars win it. Those guys are next on Jaguars Radio.
We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Now from Jaguars Central, after the Jaguars 24-20 victory over the Cleveland Browns today, Cole Pepper, Pete Vanizak, Marco Coleman. All right, here's where we are. We'll keep you updated on the Indianapolis-New England game. Patriots with a 7-0 lead. Tom Brady, an early touchdown pass. And if the Patriots wind up winning again, the Jaguars will be tied for first place. Pete, did 2 months ago, did you think we'd be potentially sitting over Thanksgiving turkey dinner talking about the first-place Jaguars?
No, hell no. I never thought of that. But it's a great feeling. And it's a tribute to this team. You know, it really is. They hung in there. When they got off to a bad start, got knocked around a little bit, but they hung together. And you know what? I'm going to go back to last week in that win, you know, the freaky win at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, some way, that instills something in ball players that you can win no matter what the obstacles are. And believe me, to overcome 6 turnovers made by your offense and you know, however they were made, and come out and win this ball game is incredible. I think the odds of doing that are incredible, and I've never seen that before. But you believe in yourself. You find a way to win, and it's a great win. How long were there? I don't know how long we'll be there, but I tell you, it sure feels good when you're there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Marco, this is the fourth time in Jaguars history they've committed 6 turnovers in the ballgame. Obviously, 0-3 before this point, including earlier this year against San Diego. Now, Cleveland is not a championship contender, but they're a pretty good football team. Peyton Hillis is a very good running back. you know, this is an improving team. Maybe they're a year away from being a contender, but you know, this is not the weak sisters of the poor Cleveland Browns anymore. This is a pretty good win.
Hey, getting a win in the NFL is one of the toughest things to do, regardless of what the team is. But it does help when you're playing against a rookie quarterback and you're playing against a team that's missing a couple of parts on their offensive line. Now, granted, all of that, to build the confidence of a team going into the latter part of the season, to have a game like this is huge. And the way that they won, I think this was, especially defensively, although they did it physically, the mental part of it, having to go out there six different times with after those turnovers in close proximity on a few of them, I mean, that's a testament to the mental makeup of the defense.
Yeah, I think what the Jaguars defense did today is really remarkable. Let me just reset it here for you. There were six turnovers. One of them was returned for a touchdown, so the defense didn't have a chance to do anything with that. Of the other five possessions that came following turnovers, the Jaguars gave up 3 points.
Outstanding defense. I mean, you know, I'm a defensive guy. I love it. That's you know, I love watching games that are 0-3. That's my type of football game.
It wasn't exactly a 3-0 game, Pete, but it was a big one for the defense. Let's talk a little bit about the offensive effort today. I thought early on it looked like the Jaguars' offensive line, we talked about this at halftime, the offensive line was moving some guys around, but they didn't really feed Maurice Jones-Drew enough until later in the game.
It's still spit and sputter too much. Yeah. You know, Garrard played well, I thought, the first half, but he came back the second half, and I don't know. He's so inconsistent, and you can even look in his eyes and see the inconsistencies. You know, in the close-ups that I've seen him, he hinges the ball a lot. You know, should I throw it or shouldn't I? You know, you have to make good, smart decisions, and I just think his decisions sometimes I don't know what he's thinking, because and really two interceptions were just bad throws. They were behind the receiver, and when you're running a crossing pattern and it's behind the receiver, the guy's usually trailing you in hot pursuit, and I mean, no wonder they got intercepted.
Yeah, boy, one of those days, boy, you just sit there and go, boy, how is this going to happen? Now, the difference in what's happened this year today, I mean, here is the big picture compare and contrast story. The Jaguars did today what they have not done all year, and that is, you know, when the passing game isn't really clicking, when Garrard isn't at razor sharp. You know, we've seen some games where the passing game hasn't been good, and then they've gotten blown out. Instead, today, they win. I think that's a sign that some of the other aspects of the team are coming along.
Definitely. I mean, to win when your back's against the wall, when a lot of adversity, that's a big testament to the team and the mental makeup.
And conversely, in order for this team to stay in first place and make the playoffs, David Garrard has to play better.
Agreed, absolutely.
He has to play better. We will not stay in first place very long if he continues this type of play.
Now, we'll keep you updated on that New England-Indianapolis game. The Patriots have the football. 4.5 minutes remaining in the first quarter, and New England leads it 7-0. All right, to score a touchdown with Geico in just 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO today for your free rate quote. Still to come, we'll talk a little bit more specifically about Maurice Jones-Drew, the good and the bad there, plus the Sexton summary. We expect to hear from Kirk Morrison and from Eugene Monroe, the good, the bad, the ugly, and so much more. The Winn-Dixie postgame show rolls on. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card when you purchase at least $10 a gate gasoline to get $2 in Jagbucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. Back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show after the Jaguars' 24-20 victory over the Cleveland Browns, right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to Winn-Dixie postgame show after the Jaguars' 24-20 victory over the Cleveland Browns. Jaguars now 6-4 on the season. They have their first three-game winning streak of the year. And get ready for a trip to the Meadowlands to take on the Giants of Tom Coughlin next week. Vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details. And for those of you looking for maybe a little early Christmas shopping, get a Jaguars an autograph from Jaguar Center Brad Meester. Visit the Red Wing Shoe and Factory Outlet at 1203 Lane Avenue South. That's tomorrow from 5 till 6:30. And check out the Jaguar Center. All right, gentlemen, let's talk a little bit about what Maurice Jones-Drew did today. One of the big positives, obviously, the 75-yard catch and run and getting that touchdown. He was a real workhorse. Pete, I'm not sure that he's going to be challenging David Garrard for playing time at quarterback anytime soon, though.
No. He threw a wounded duck, baby. That thing was end over end. I didn't know if it was going to get there, but, yeah, he hung that one too much in the air. But I think maybe put that one in a can and kind of put it away.
Put
and
that play away for a little
put
while.
Put it away. Put it on the shelf for a while. But I'll tell you, other than that, he had a great it was a tremendous effort on his part.
Marco, you and I talked before the ball game about this time of year when things like turnovers, the running game, and special teams come into play. And it certainly did today. You talk about missed field goals by the Browns, mm-hmm. A couple of 51-yarders that missed by Phil Dawson. Turnovers, I guess they came into play in a way on the Considine interception at the end, snuffing out the last chance for the Browns to get it done. But the running game, it was a warm day today. There are a bunch of folks around the NFL who would take today's weather in what they're going to be playing with here the rest of the way. But the running game still comes down to it, and the Jaguars did a better job in the running game than the Browns did.
Definitely, and it starts up front. The defensive line for the Jacksonville Jaguars were completely more dominant than the Cleveland Browns. Now, you're talking about a running back in Hillis. They'll see another guy next week in Jacobs, mm-hmm. big, strong guy. And they did a great job against him. I'm looking for him to do the same thing next week.
Yeah, we'll keep a close eye on that. And, of course, again, being able to plow the way there for Maurice Jones-Drew and the numbers for Mojo today – 8.1 yards per touch when you combine both the rushes and the receptions. And we're joined here by Jaguars left tackle Eugene Monroe. Well, you're going to get to sit down to Thanksgiving dinner with maybe, potentially, in first place. Pull that microphone up there next to you, Eugene. But the way things looked maybe a month and a half ago, you got to like where you are right now.
Yeah, we're in a good position. AFC game came in, and we knew what type of day this would be, defensively, at least for Cleveland. They're a stout front, guys that, just play hard, big, strong dudes. And mm-hmm. we knew we'd have to grind them out of there. And, we gave them too many opportunities today, just, giving them gifts, giving them the ball, making it hard on ourselves to really get going. But, we just continue to fight, continue to grind, and, we came out on top.
You ever been in a game where you've turned the ball over six times and still won?
Nah, usually when that happens, you lose, and you lose big when that happens. Yeah. Fortunately, it went the other way for us today.
Yeah, it's to kind of switch gears a little bit. You've did a really good job this season in pass protection. You've seen the likes of Freeney and Williams here in your division. Now, next week you're going to see some guys with the Giants, formidable pass rushing team. Now, how do you adjust to the different type of pass rushers that you see from week to week?
A lot of that adjustment will just be, coming from film study. This is our first time really, seeing these guys. We'll watch them on film and see their tendencies. Hopefully we'll get a chance to, come up with a plan to really, attack these guys. I'll never go into a game being passive. I always want to, be on the attack and have a plan for, how I'm going to approach him. So he's a new guy. These will be new defenders, but it'll be fun. It'll be a fun challenge.
Definitely.
Eugene, next week you got the Giants, and they got a pretty good defensive line as a group, four together. But what did you find coming from college to pros the hardest thing for you to adjust to? What was the hardest thing for you to grasp?
The hardest thing from college is, recognizing, how defenses change on the fly. Defensive in college have their schemes and everything, but they're not as, difficult to see, disguise-wise, and being able to alert and finding the keys each week, whether it's, reading a defensive lineman's position. He might be, 1 yard deeper off the line of scrimmage than he usually lines up, and that'll be a key for them running a defensive stunt. So just being able to learn those things was
out of all the teams that, you're still going around the loop. You haven't played every team in the NFL yet, but you eventually will. Hopefully you play a long time, like 15 years, you'll play against each guy.
Jackie
15,
Slater, about 25 years.
Yeah. but what guy right now, who comes first to your mind that, man, I just hate playing against this guy?
I wouldn't say I hate playing against anybody. you know, I'm excited for every challenge each week. But, you know, so far in my career, a guy that, you know, was most difficult to face was Trent Cole, mainly because of his motor. He's an athletic guy, as athletic as any other in the league, but he just plays so much harder than most guys. He brings it.
Everybody has a hard time with him.
Yeah. Eugene, you have any interest in this game going on the monitor behind you here? New England, Indianapolis, 7-0 New England right now. How much are you guys scoreboard watching or game watching? Just, you know, keep an eye on what some of the other teams are doing in the AFC South.
You know, I like to get a chance to watch, our competition play on TV. A lot of that you get to see, the passion of their players in certain positions. Certain guys raise their level of play depending on the situation in the game, and you can't always see that just watching, the film study copy of it.
Well, you certainly have one of those guys on your team, Maurice Jones-Drew. When the game's on the line, he's ready. Mercedes made some big plays. You had a lot of guys after, a sluggish day for the offense, I think everybody would agree. But when it came right down to it, you had some guys making some big-time plays.
Big plays, right when we needed them. Those are the type of players that will give that to you. We can always count on Maurice. We do our job, and, if we're, slipping, he's a guy that will bring us right back to where we need to be. Our defense, played well for us today, and, we gave the Cleveland Browns too many opportunities. But, Maurice came through for us big. Mercedes had a few, nice catches. And, we need that effort from everybody every week.
You got some really well-experienced offensive line coaches. You got two of them. I actually have experience myself of playing against Andy Heck and Mr. Heller and Coach Heller. Heller was a teammate of mine in Miami. I know they're two different type of guys. Now, that balance of, the type of players they are, have you been able to take that and put that into your game, or how have you been able to take the experiences from the two different coaches and apply it to what you do?
It's been a blessing to, have both of those guys as my coaches, both playing tackle, and, they see parts of my game, and, I always talk to Coach Heck. He basically focuses on me a lot because that's the position that he played,
right.
So he's used to watching it, and, he can see a situation, or he'll know something's coming up, and, he can give me a tip on, how to make it work better, because he's been in that situation before. And the same thing with Coach Heller. So, like I said, it's just a blessing to have both of those guys as my coaches.
And being in the ACC, smart guys.
Here we go.
That's
here
how we
go.
Do it.
He tried that last week with Cox. Yeah,
I was dead wrong, but I'm right. I know for sure I'm right this time.
You got another ACC guy in here now. Well, Aaron Hernandez has just scored a touchdown for New England. 14-0, Patriots leading the Colts. Just to keep you updated.
That's nice.
Eugene, thanks for stopping by. Congratulations on the win. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks,
we'll see you in the locker room this
too.
Week. Eugene Monroe. We'll take time out. When we come back, we'll have the Sexton summary. Plus, we also expect to hear from Kirk Morrison as well. Jaguars win it 24-20 over the Cleveland Browns. Jags now 6-4 on the season. Back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show following the Jaguars 24-20 victory over the Cleveland Browns. Time now for the Metro PCS Sexton summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Jaguars opened the scoring on a 47-yard Josh Gobe field goal, but Cleveland took the lead for the first time in the ball game. A 16-play, 92-yard drive took almost 10 minutes off the first half clock. Colt McCoy to Peyton Hillis on an 11-yarder made it a 7-3 Cleveland lead. But the Jaguars would come back. David Garrard, on a 13-play, 68-yard drive, found, guys, quickly becoming one of his favorite targets, Mike Thomas.
Drew in the backfield. David sends Osgood in motion. Quick turn, quick throw. Mike Thomas has got a touchdown!
That made it a 10-7 Jaguars lead. That was the score at the break. The second half, the turnovers just started piling up. First, Maurice Jones-Drew fumbled a ball. Everybody's kind of standing around because it just looked like one of those plays where the running back ran into the line and then got tackled. But Abram Elam scooped it up, ran 18 yards for a touchdown to give Cleveland a 14-10 lead. And that's when the wheels, it appeared, started coming off. An interception by T.J. Ward on a ball deflected off Mike Thomas. But the defense stood up. Darrell Smith with a sack on third down, forced a punt. Jaguars got it back. Then an interception by Joe Hayden. But the Jaguars defense able to keep Cleveland to just a 38-yard field goal, make it a 17-10 ball game. after David Garrard fumbled the ball away. Jaguars defense again. Three plays and out thanks to a Derek Harvey sack. Next possession, another turnover. T.J. Ward with an interception, his second of the ball game, but the defense able to stiffen, hold the Browns to a 51-yard field goal attempt. Phil Dawson booted it wide to the right. Then the Jaguars got things going again. A 12-play, 59-yard drive, helped by a 4th-and-1 conversion. And in the end, it was David Garrard looking to his tight end.
David in the shotgun. Drops, turns, throws. He's got a man. This one's caught, and it's a touchdown.
Oh, what a play.
Mercedes Lewis reaches for the end zone.
Mercedes with a touchdown there, tying the game at 17. Cleveland came back, took a 20-17 lead on a Phil Dawson 41-yard field goal. And then the biggest play of the ball game for the Jaguars offense.
Lots of time. 2:27 to play. 1st and 10. Jags at their own 24. David quickly turns, pumps. Now is under pressure. Sets up a screen. Drew's got it looking for blockers. He's back in the middle of the field. He's at the 30-yard line. Look at him go. He's at the 35 and the 40. Breaks a tackle. He's going. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. He cuts to the inside of the 20. He's on his feet to the 10. 5. Oh, he's pulled at the 1. He's pulled at the 1-yard line. Maurice Drew. It's stopped at the 1-yard line.
And at the 1, after a Rashad Jennings run that gained about a foot, they went back to Mojo.
1:23 and counting. 3 tight ends. Here's the handoff, and Maurice is pushing his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville!
But that wasn't the end of things. Cleveland still had some time. 1:16 to play from their own 20. First a 12-yard pass to Muhammad Massaquah, and then another. And then to the tight end Moore, first downs, moving the ball down the field. Colt McCoy looking to try to pull off some rookie heroics, but the Jaguars defense had other plans.
No timeouts remaining. Jaguars rushing 3. McCoy turns and throws. He's got a man, and it is caught. No, it's intercepted. Sean Considine took it away. It's intercepted, and the Jaguars are going to win it.
And that's the way it went. The Metro PCS Sexton summary with no signed contract. Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We'll take timeout. Back with the Baptist Health coverage of the game, the protector of the game, and Jaguars linebacker Kirk Morrison. You might need a Tylenol or two after meeting Peyton Hillis in the hole a couple of times. Hey, tell your special someone those three little words they've been waiting to hear. McRib is back, only at McDonald's and only for a limited time. Back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right after this timeout right here on Jaguars Radio. Back on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, Cole Pfeffer, Pete Vanaszak, Marco Coleman. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. And we're pleased to have Jaguars middle linebacker Kirk Morrison in the studio with us here after this game. I was kind of teasing earlier. You had a bunch of head-to-head meetings with Peyton Hillis today, yeah. And he's certainly, I mean, he's a load.
He's been a load. I mean, I played against him when I was in Oakland for 2 years. And if somebody would have asked me in the beginning of the season, who was the hardest running back that you had to take down? And, I've been up against some of the best, Adrian Peterson, LaDainian Tomlinson. I can give you a list of names, but Peyton Hillis was probably the hardest running back, I think, to take down, because no matter how good a shot that you get on him, he seems to always fall forward, and he's more athletic than you give him credit mm-hmm. for. And you can see by when he jumps over people or makes a cut. I mean, the good guy point. Is very athletic for his size.
Yeah, and several times a day you could see how the scheme was working. And
yes.
Jack always talks about defensive fits.
Right.
Right. And mm-hmm. it's one thing to get in there and be in the right hole. It's another right. thing against the sledgehammer to go ahead right. and stick your head in there, and you mm-hmm. had to do that on a number of occasions.
I think we're just feeling more and more comfortable week in and week out in our run fits. We go back to that Kansas City game, and we were embarrassed. 235 yards as a defense, giving up on rushing. We took that to heart. We went back to the basics, and we said, we're just going to have to play the basic football, getting in our gaps, making sure our alignment, assignment, we're perfect. And, we've taken that, and in the last 3 weeks we've had 3 wins, and we've held teams under 100 yards rushing, because that's what we feel like we can do and we should do week in and week out. Coming in, we knew what Peyton Hillis was going to be all about. We knew what this team was going to be all about. I have friends over there. They say, hey, we're going to run the football. Rookie quarterback, you don't want to put the game in his hands. Sure. Let's try to keep it simple, keep third down simple for him. Don't get him in third and longs. Let's try to run the football. And we took that part of their game out.
Kurt, we had 6 turnovers today. Yes. And I said right after the game, I said, to me, this is the most – I've never been around a team that mm-hmm. made six turnovers and won the game. That's like a 99-1 shot that you'll end up winning a football game. I thought our defense, this was the best defensive effort that we had all year long. Right. You know, and talking in the break with you, you just mentioned I'm getting more comfortable with everything. Well, the audience out there would like to know what are the things that you get more settled in, even though you're going on your seventh year. You still went from one system to another, and it's different. Yeah, a lot of people don't understand it's different. It's
tough. You know, I was in Oakland for my first 5 years and played a eight man front, one man, one gap. Basically, when you play in Oakland, it's whatever you have the A gap, you play the A gap, and you trust everybody else to be in their gaps. Well, you come down to Jacksonville, we play a little bit different scheme. We're more of a cover two. We're more of a rocking the safeties down. And basically, you finally understand what the concept of what we've been preaching, what we've been talking. And it's all of us working together. The defensive line has been playing great. And it's about doing your job. But also, it's all about doing your job. But once you do your job, go try to make a play. Finish on the football. And it's all about finishing on the ball. And I think guys are doing that. When Campman went down, a lot of people said, hey, what do you guys want to do? But it was us looking at each other in the eye saying, you know what, we got to go out and we got to step it up. The next guy who comes in has to step it up. We have to play Jaguar football, which is relentless. We keep talking about being relentless, relentless, relentless. You know, Coach put a picture of a Mincy up last night in the meeting and said, be relentless, because he's relentless. And you see what he goes out there, he gets two sacks today. I think on Joe Thomas's side, I'm not sure, but we just talk about getting to the football, being relentless, and making plays. I mean, it was more about, we don't look at the turnover situation. We look at it as an opportunity for our defense to go out there and great.
You guys stepped up today, big time.
And we feel like we're just growing up. We're a team, and we're a defense right now that the first part of the season we were trying to get that perfect 11. Those 11 guys is going to go out there and have that right nucleus. And we're getting better week in and week out. I mean, we had two young safeties in there, and they're learning week in and week out. You know, us at the linebacker position, we're getting our fits together. I'm learning the system week in and week out, getting better. And, Terrence Knight and Tyson Alualu, I mean, they're holding that defensive line down because we've had injuries. You know, we lost a leader in Aaron Capman, but guys look around and say, we're going to be better because we have to be.
Well, going on here at the latter part of the season,
right?
You guys going to see some offenses that will be a lot better. Matter of fact, coming up next week against the Giants, a lot better offense. Now, coming in this week, the defense has been, at the top of the league as far as giving up big plays, 40-yard plays, 20-yard plays. So now, what is it that the defense is going to have to do to prevent from giving up so many big plays to get yourselves in a position to be a really good defense for the postseason?
That's what we talk about. We can't give up the explosives. I know Coach is going to have that sheet up there tomorrow. Explosives are plays of, I think it's a 15-plus or 20-plus.
Yeah.
We gave up too many explosives.
In the beginning of the year, but not today.
We had a 47. Yeah. We had a, was it a 50, I think, at the end of the game to the tight end, on a scramble. Yep. Those are the plays that we can't give up. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's make them do it the hard way. We talk about the hard way. Make a team drive 80, 90 on it. If you do that, we'll applaud you for driving on us. When you earn it, it's one thing. But we felt like even today, they didn't earn it. They didn't earn some of their plays. One was a touchdown. He got out of a sack and found a guy, for a touchdown. Yeah. And another play, he just finds an open seam and gets a score. So we knew that in the first half, we said, that's their best shot. They just gave us. That's all they had. We're not going to give up anything else for the rest of the game.
Now, here we are coming up on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of folks, and we talked about this with Eugene Monroe a bit earlier, a couple of months ago, I mean, it looked like the sky was falling.
Oh,
How have you guys been able to hold it together with all this pressure and coaches under pressure, quarterbacks under pressure, pass rush, defensive backfields under pressure? How have you guys been able to hold it together?
Who said that we were under pressure? Everybody else. Not the people in our room. Not the people on our staff. Not the players. You see, what happens is we don't listen to what goes on outside that room. We just look at each other in the eye and say, we got to go out and make plays and let's turn this thing around. Everybody says, oh, your coach, he's on the hot seat. Or, David Garrard is not the quarterback for the team. And defense, you guys suck at the run. You haven't been stopping the run. You're giving up big plays in the passing game. But that's for the critics. That's for the radio to talk about. When we talk about inside our room. You know what I mean? We talk about inside our room about how we can get better week in and week out. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter how good you played, how bad you played, how many yards you gave up. It's either you won or you lost. And the last two games, we've won football games. At the end of the year, you don't look at it and say, oh, man, the Jags gave up 500 yards and they won. We won. Yep. We don't put asterisks on wins. At the end of the year, it's either you won or you lost.
No BCS to worry about.
No, not at all. you don't get points for style in the NFL, I'll tell you that.
14-7 right now. New England leads Indianapolis. Manning just threw a touchdown pass a moment ago, about 6 minutes left in the first half. You wouldn't mind sitting down to that turkey and gravy and whatever else you're going to have tied for first place. That'd be all right.
That'd be great. But at the same time, it's not about them. It's not about anybody else but us. And that's the mentality I think that this team has kind of taken upon, is that it's about us. It's about doing things the Jaguar way. When we do things the right way, we know we're going to be a heck of a football team. And the funny part about it is that we're going on week 11, and we still haven't played that perfect football game where offense, defense, special teams, we're clicking on all cylinders. And that's what we're aiming for. We're aiming for that perfect game. And why can't it be next week in New York? Because nobody's going to give us a chance. Nobody's going to give us a shot. But now when we talk about it all week long, we're going in as underdogs, and we're going to try to come out with a victory.
Yeah, Kirk,
but that's why you play the game.
That's why you play the game. I love it.
Kirk, thanks for stopping by. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you in the locker room this week, and congratulations.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Sure. Thank you.
Kirk Morrison, Jaguars middle linebacker. Time now for the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. I think we got to give it to Considine, don't we, for the interception right at the end of the ball game there?
Yeah.
I think that's an easy one to go with. And then the Protector of the Game, brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. Protector of the Game, what do you think on that offensive line, gentlemen? Anybody stand out to you? I saw Manawai open up a pretty good hole on the a couple of runs there. And
Jones, I mean, he steps up on those blitzes, man, and he handles
Greg Jones
line
had another great day blocking for – he just comes week in and week out and does his job.
Yeah. All right, we'll give it to Greg Jones then for a second time. Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House, official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're back with more of the good, the bad, and the ugly straight ahead. This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after the Jaguars 24-20 victory over the Cleveland Browns. Jaguars with a chance to be tied for first place and they sit down to Thanksgiving dinner. If New England can hang on and beat Indianapolis. Time now for Pete Vanacek with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Artie, there was so much good stuff today and a little bad stuff, but mostly all good. And just talking with Kirk Morrison right here, you know, the effort put forth by our defense, I just thought that was, I take my hat off to him. And I don't know. I like to know the odds of making six turnovers and still winning the football game. I still say they're 99-1 that you can do that, but you got to give our defensive just incredible effort for and enthusiasm and just toughness, mental toughness. And I'm going back to last week, you know, when I said, you know, you find a way to win, and that's what we're doing. The bad thing was, you know, conversely, the six turnovers. You just can't make those turnovers. You know, if you were playing the New England Patriots and you made six turnovers, you'd probably be behind by 40 points.
Well, we saw what happened when he did that in San Diego earlier.
Yeah. Good teams make you pay for that. And the ugly thing, and it was kind of funny, but it wasn't funny at the time, was Maurice Jones-Drew had such a great game, but I got to give him the ugly award for throwing that pass. I mean, it looked like my pass. I threw it back about 40 years ago, end over end, and it stayed up in the air forever. And it was just kind of like a wounded duck floating around up there.
Quarterback rating of 0.0.
I'm glad he sticks to running.
Yeah, and did a heck of a job of it today. Yeah. All right, that is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Next week, Jaguars are in New York to take on the Giants. 1 o'clock start for the Jaguars and Giants in the Meadowlands. The Jaguars against Tom Coughlin's team. The Jaguars might be in first place by then. That's the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. If you're in Jacksonville, stick around. We'll take your calls on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. That's straight ahead. The Jaguars will enjoy a little Thanksgiving turkey with a three-game winning streak, their first three-game winning streak of the season. And now they go on the road with two home games remaining. Going to be interesting as well to see how the standings and playoff races shape up and how that impacts ticket sales as well. We'll keep an eye on that as we get closer and closer to the next Jaguars home game. After going on the road to take on the Giants, the Jaguars will be on the road to Tennessee, and then back home on December the 12th to take on the Oakland Raiders. Stick around. The Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is coming up next after the Jaguars' 24-20 victory over the Cleveland Browns. Jaguars are 6-4 on the season.